The Enterprise cruises through space with Sulu at the helm. As Kirk comes onto the bridge, Spock hands him a small orange data file.
Captain, we've reached the designated position for scanning the coded directive.
Good.
Kirk puts the file in a reader.
We've both guessed right. Negotiations with the Klingon Empire are on the verge of breaking down. Starfleet Command anticipates a surprise attack. We are to proceed to Organia and take whatever steps are necessary to prevent the Klingons from using it as a base.
Strategically sound, Organia is the only Class M planet in the disputed area, ideally located for use by either side.
Organia's description, Mr. Spock.
Inhabited by humanoids, very peaceful, friendly people, living on a primitive level, little of intrinsic value, approximately class D minus on Richter's scale of cultures.
Another Armenia, Belgium.
Sir.
The weak innocents always seem to be located on the natural invasion routes.
Captain, the automatic deflector screen just popped on. Body approaching.
Configuration, Mr. Sulu.
The Enterprise comes under attack.
Laserbanks, lock on. Return fire.
More missiles strike the ship.
Maintain firing rate. 100% dispersal pattern.
We hit him, Captain. He's hurt.
Damage control. Report to the first officer.
Captain, the other ship doesn't register.
Only drifting debris. We got him.
All hands. Maintain general alert. Hold battle stations. Damage report, Mr. Spock.
Minor, Captain. We were most fortunate. Lost damage in decks 10 and 11. Minor buckling in the antimatter pods. Casualties are light.
Maintain surveillance, Mr. Sulu.
No contact, Captain. He blew up all right.
Well, we've been anticipating an attack. I'd say what we've just experienced very nearly qualifies.
Yes, it would seem to be an unfriendly act.
Automatic all points relay from Starfleet Command, Captain. Code 1.
Kirk looks up at Spock solemnly.
Well, there it is. War. We didn't want it, but we've got it.
Curious how often you humans manage to obtain that which you do not want.
War or not, we've still got a job to do. Denying Organia to the Klingons.
But the outbreak of hostilities, that might not be easy.
Laying a course for Organia, Mr. Sulu.
Aye, aye, sir.
Negotiating with the Organians will be time-consuming, Captain. And time is the one thing we will have the least of.
Well, we won't get it by talking about it, Mr. Spock. The trigger's been pulled. We've got to get there before the hammer falls. Ahead, warp factor 7.
Spock goes back to his station.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. Errand of Mercy.
Captain's log, stardate 3198.4. We have reached Organia and established standard orbit. No signs of hostile activities in this area.
Captain, unit XY75847 report a fleet of Klingon ships in their sector, sir.
What bearing?
Unable to ascertain, sir.
Mr. Sulu, have the phaser crews stand by their positions. Full power deflector screens.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Spock and I are going down to the planet's surface. You will be in command. Your responsibility is to the Enterprise, not to us. Is that clear?
Perfectly, sir.
The Klingon fleet is in this quadrant. We know that Organia will be a target. If they should emerge...
We'll handle them, sir.
You will evaluate the situation. If there is a fleet of them, you'll get out of here, Mr. Sulu.
But, Captain...
No buts. You'll get to safety and alert the fleet. You will not attack alone. Mr. Spock and I will be all right.
Sulu nods reluctantly.
Mr. Spock, let's you and I pay the Organians a visit.
Kirk hands a report pad to Uhura, and he and Spock leave the bridge. They materialize outside the gates of an old walled village. An ox-drawn cart trundles past. Inhabitants in simple peasant clothes go about their business.
You think they had people beaming down every day?
Yes. Curious lack of interest.
They notice a large stone building on a craggy hilltop.
Notice the ruins in the distance, Captain. Quite large.
Yes. A fortress, perhaps. A castle.
Whatever it is, it would seem to be inconsistent with the reports we've been given on this culture.
A man comes towards them.
Welcome.
Reception committee?
It seems so.
Kirk and Spock walk up to the bearded, middle-aged man who wears a violet, calf-length robe.
You are our visitors. Welcome, welcome.
He bows.
I am Aelborn.
I am Captain James T. Kirk of the Starship Enterprise, representing the United Federation of Planets. This is my first officer, Mr. Spock.
You're most welcome, my friend.
I would like to speak to someone in authority.
We don't have anybody in authority. But I am the chairman of the Council of Elders. Perhaps I would do.
You people are in great danger. Is there some place we can go and talk?
Oh, yes, our council chambers are nearby. Please.
Aelborn leads them through the stone archway into the village, past a group of Organians with their cattle and goats.
Captain, if you don't mind, I should like to wander about the village and make some studies.
Of course, my friend. Our village is yours. Captain?
Aelborn leads Kirk away. Spock stays behind and activates his tricorder. Kirk meets the elders in the council chamber.
Gentlemen, my government has informed me that the Klingons are expected to move against your planet with the objective of making it a base of operation against the Federation. My mission, frankly, is to keep them from doing it.
What you're saying, Captain, is that we seem to have a choice between dealing with you or your enemies.
No, sir. With the Federation, you have a choice. You have none with the Klingons. The Klingons are a military dictatorship. War is their way of life. Life under the Klingon rule would be very unpleasant. We offer you protection.
We thank you for your altruistic offer, Captain, but we really do not need your protection.
We are a simple people, Captain. We have nothing that anybody could want.
You have this planet and its strategic location. I assure you that if you don't take action to prevent it, the Klingons will move against you just as surely as your sun rises. We will help you build defenses, build facilities.
We have no defenses, Captain, nor are any needed.
Gentlemen, I have seen what the Klingons do to planets like yours. They are organized into vast slave labor camps. No freedoms whatsoever. Your goods will be confiscated. Hostages taken and killed. Your leaders confined. You'd be far better off on a penal planet. Infinitely better off.
Captain, we see that your concern is genuine, and we are moved. But again, we assure you that we are in absolutely no danger. If anybody is in danger, you are. And that concerns us greatly. It would be better if you returned to your ship as soon as possible.
You keep insisting that there's no danger. I keep assuring you that there is. Would you mind telling me?
It is our way of life, Captain.
That's the first thing that would be lost. Excuse me, gentlemen. I'm a soldier, not a diplomat. I can only tell you the truth.
If you will excuse us, Captain, we will discuss your kind offer.
Yes, certainly.
Kirk steps away from the table while the councillors confer in hushed tones. The large wooden doors of the chamber open, and Spock walks in and up to Kirk.
Captain, our information on these people and their culture was not correct. This is not a primitive society making progress toward mechanization. They are totally stagnant. There is no evidence of any progress as far back as my tricorder can register.
That doesn't seem likely.
Nevertheless, it is true. For tens of thousands of years, there has been absolutely no advancement, no significant change in their physical environment. This is a laboratory specimen of an arrested culture.
Thank you, Mr. Spock. That might be useful.
They go back to the table.
We have discussed your offer, Captain, and our opinion is unchanged. We are in no danger. We thank you for your kind offer of assistance, although we must decline it. And we strongly recommend that you leave Organia before you yourselves are endangered.
Gentlemen, I must get you to reconsider. We can be of immense help to you. In addition to military aid, we can send you specialists, technicians. We can show you how to feed 1,000 people, where one was fed before. We can help you build schools, educate the young in the latest technological and scientific skills. Your public facilities are almost non-existent. We can help you remake your world. End disease, hunger, hardship. And all we ask in return is that you let us help you. Now.
The elders exchange glances and shake their heads.
Captain, I can see that you do not understand us. Perhaps...
Excuse me, sir. Kirk here.
Captain, a large number of Klingon vessels have just arrived.
They're opening fire.
Positive identification.
Yes, sir. My screens are up. I can't drop them to beam you aboard.
Mr. Sulu, follow your orders. Get out of here. Contact the fleet. Return if the odds are more equal. Kirk out.
Gentlemen, you kept insisting that there was no danger. I
that
hope this proves...
That is correct, Captain. There is no danger.
Airborne, 8 space vehicles have assumed orbit around our planet. They are activating their material transmission units.
Thank you, Trefane.
Can you verify that?
Negative, Captain. But it seems a logical development.
Captain, since it is too late for you to escape, perhaps we should do something about protecting you.
If you had listened to me...
We must be sure that you are not harmed.
Airborne, several hundred men have appeared near the Citadel. They bring many weapons.
How does he know that?
Oh, our friend Trefane is really quite intuitive. You can rest assured that what he says is absolutely correct.
So, we're stranded here in the middle of a Klingon occupation army.
So it would seem. Not a very pleasant prospect.
You have a gift for understatement, Mr. Spock. It's not a very pleasant prospect at all.
Captain's log, stardate 3201.7. Mr. Spock and I are trapped on the planet Organia, which is in the process of being occupied by the forces of the Klingon Empire. The Organians have provided us with native clothing in the hopes that we may be taken for Organians.
Captain, our phasers are gone.
Did you take them?
Yes, Captain, I took them.
I must ask you to return them.
I'm sorry, Captain, I cannot do that. Were you armed, you might be tempted to use violence, and that we cannot permit. You, Captain, will pass as an Organian, and Mr. Spock presents a problem. He does not look like an Organian.
A Vulcan trader, perhaps. A dealer in Kivas and Trillium, harmless to the Klingons.
They know that Vulcan is a member of the Federation.
Vulcan merchants are not uncommon, Captain. It is a practical approach.
What about the rest of you?
We should continue as before. We have nothing to fear.
You have a lot to learn, sir. And if I know the Klingons, you'll be learning it the hard way.
Two armed Klingon guards come into the room, followed by a senior-ranking Klingon with the swarthy complexion, arched black eyebrows, and narrow whiskers and beard of a Mongol warrior. He surveys the room arrogantly.
This is the ruling council.
I am Aelborn, temporary head of the council. I bid you welcome.
No doubt you do. I am Kur, military governor of Organia. Who are you?
Oh, he is Barona, one of our leading citizens.
And he has no tongue?
I have a tongue.
Good. You will be taught how to use it.
Kur circles Kirk.
Where is your smile?
My what?
The stupid, idiotic smile everyone else seems to be wearing. A Vulcan. Do you also have a tongue?
I am Spock, a dealer in Kivas and Trillium.
You do not look like a storekeeper. Take this man. Vulcans are members of the Federation. He may be a spy.
He's no spy.
Kur turns sharply to Kirk.
Well, have we a ram among the sheep? You object to us taking him?
He's done nothing. Nothing at all.
Coming from an Organian, yours is practically an act of rebellion. Very good. So you welcome me. Do you also welcome me?
you're here, there's nothing I can do about it.
Good, honest hatred. Very refreshing. However, it makes no difference whether you welcome me or not. I am here and I will stay. You are now subjects of the Klingon Empire. You will find there are many rules and regulations. They will be posted. Violation of the smallest of them will be punished by death.
We shall obey your regulations, Commander.
You disapprove, Barona.
You need my approval.
I need your obedience. Nothing more. Will I have it?
You seem to be in command.
Yes. I am. I shall need a representative from among you. Liaison between the forces of the occupation and the civil population. Smile and smile. I don't trust men who smile too much. You, Barona, you're the man.
Me? I don't want the job.
Have I asked whether or not you want it? We Klingons have a reputation for ruthlessness. You will find that it is deserved. Should one Klingon soldier be killed, 1,000 Organians will die. I will have order. Is that clear?
Commander, I assure you, our people want nothing but peace. We shall cause you no trouble.
I'm sure you will not. Take the Vulcan to the examination room. You, come with me. I will familiarize you with your new duties.
What about Mr. Spock?
You are concerned.
He is my friend.
You have a poor choice of friends. He will be examined. If he is lying, he will die. If he is telling the truth, he will find that business has taken a turn for the worse. Take him.
Kirk makes to move towards Spock. Kor blocks his path.
You do not like to be pushed.
Kor gives Kirk a cruel smile.
Very good. You may be a man I can deal with, Barona. Come with me.
Kor strides out. Kirk bows sarcastically to the council elders and leaves. In his headquarters in the abandoned fortress on the hill, Kor reads to Kirk from a document.
From this day on, no public assemblages of more than 3 people. All publications to be cleared through this office. Neighborhood controls will be established, hostages selected, a somewhat lengthy list of crimes against the state. You do not like them?
Spock is brought into the room.
Well?
He is what he claims to be, Commander. A Vulcanian merchant named Spock. His main concern seems to be how he will carry out his business under our occupation.
Nothing else?
The usual. A certain amount of apprehension regarding us. The mind is remarkably disciplined.
You're sure?
I used Force 4, which is sufficient to break down any pretense.
Very well, Lieutenant. Would you like to try our little truth finder?
I don't understand it.
It's a mind sifter, or mind ripper, depending on how much force is used. We can record every thought, every bit of knowledge in a man's mind. Of course, when that much force is used, the mind is emptied. Permanently, I'm afraid. What's left is more vegetable than human.
And you're proud of it?
It is a tool, a weapon, somewhat drastic, but very efficient.
Are you sure you're all right?
Perfectly, Barona. But it was an interesting experience.
All right, Vulcan, you may go. But you are an enemy alien. You will be under our scrutiny at all times. If I have to warn you...
Not necessary, Commander. I understand you very well.
Spock leaves with one of the Klingon guards.
Return to your council, Barona.
You will receive our official notifications as soon as they are published. In the meantime, keep the people in order. It is your responsibility.
Or I will be killed.
That is exactly right. You will be killed.
In the square.
That mine sifter can't be all the terror they think it is.
It should not be underestimated, Captain. It reaches directly into the mind. We Vulcans have certain disciplines which enable me to maintain a shield. Without those disciplines, there would be no protection.
I'll try and avoid it.
Out of the way, Arganian.
I'm sorry, sir. We did not notice you.
Next time, keep your eyes open or I'll shut them permanently.
Captain, I strongly suggest we direct our energies toward the immediate problem, accomplishing our mission here.
You didn't really think I was going to beat his head in, did you?
I thought you might.
You're right.
Kirk bows with icy politeness to a Klingon guard.
But as you say, we still have a job to do.
We'll receive no help from the Organians.
Maybe, but sooner or later, they're going to start resenting how the Klingons run things. If we could prove to them, they could do something to strike back, to keep the Klingons off balance.
Verbal persuasion seems to be ineffective. Perhaps a more direct approach.
That's exactly what I had in mind. Mr. Spock, did I or did I not see something that looked like a munitions dump outside of Kor's headquarters?
You did.
I think it's time we did a little simple and plain communicating tonight.
A very meritorious idea, Captain.
We're short of tools.
I'm certain the Klingons will provide whatever is necessary.
It's a pleasure doing business with you, Mr. Spock.
Later, after dark, Kirk and Spock sneak through a doorway in the outer ward of the fortress and creep along a wall. They spot a guard coming towards them. Spock retreats. Kirk hides up some steps. The guard takes up position beneath the steps. Kirk jumps down onto him and knocks him out. While Kirk drags the guard's body away, Spock sprints into the next courtyard. He stops at the munitions dump and examines a grenade. Kirk arrives.
Okay, so far. Sonic grenade.
With a delayed action fuse.
Good.
These crates contain chemical explosives. They should make a most satisfactory display.
6, 5, 4, 3.
The air around them fills with smoke and flames.
You were right, Mr. Spock. A most satisfactory display.
Of course we blew it up. Deliberately.
But that was violence.
We did it to show you that you could fight back, that you don't have to be sheep, you can be wolves.
Terrible. To destroy.
History is full of examples of civil populations fighting back successfully against a military dictatorship. We may not be able to destroy the Klingons, but we can tie them up. Blow up their installations, disrupt their communications, make Organia useless to them.
Our fleet will eventually arrive. In the meantime, the battle is ours. It can be a successful one.
Captain, I implore you never to do such a thing again.
Why? Are you afraid of retribution? Does your personal freedom mean so little to you?
How little you understand us, Captain.
All I understand is that you apparently don't have the backbone to stand up and fight and protect the ones you love.
I speak of courage, gentlemen. Does courage mean so little to you?
In another room, Kor is listening to this conversation on a secret device. He sweeps into the council chamber with an armed escort.
You speak of courage. Obviously, you do not know the difference between courage and foolhardiness.
Kor turns to the elders.
Always it is the brave ones who die. The soldiers. I hope you will continue to savor the sweetness of your life. You disgust me.
What are you going to do with him, Commander?
What is always done with spies and saboteurs. He will be killed. After he has had first-hand experience of our mind scanner.
There is no need to use your machine on him, Commander. I can tell you his name. It is Captain James T. Kirk.
Elborn.
What?
Kor's eyes glitter. He grins excitedly.
Captain of the USS Enterprise. A starship commander.
And his first officer? I had hoped to meet you in battle, but...
For some reason, he feels that he must destroy you, Commander. Just as you feel you must destroy him.
That's going to be rather difficult now. Isn't it, Captain? What an admirable people. Do you always betray your friends?
I didn't want you to harm him. I'm sorry, Captain. It was for the best. No harm would come of it.
I'm used to the idea of dying. But I have no desire to die for the likes of you.
I don't blame you, Captain. Lock up the Vulcan. Take the Captain to my office. We'll have a talk. Before I do, it must be done.
Kor leaves. Kirk and Spock are escorted out of the room by guards. Later, Kirk sits in Kor's quarters.
You'll have a drink with me, Captain.
No, thank you.
I assure you it isn't drugged. With our mind scanner, we have no need for such crude methods.
What do you want from me?
Oh, a very great deal. But first, I want to talk. Just talk.
Do you think I'm going to sit here and just talk with the enemy?
You'll talk. Either here, now, voluntarily, or under our mind scanner. The fact is, Captain, I have a great admiration for your Starfleet. A remarkable instrument. And I must confess to a certain admiration for you. I know, of course, that it was you who destroyed our supplies last night.
Something was destroyed? Nothing inconsequential, I hope.
Hardly. They were quite important to us, but they can be replaced. You of the Federation, you are much like us.
We're nothing like you. We're a democratic body.
Come now, Captain. I'm not referring to minor ideological differences. I mean that we are similar as a species. Here we are on a planet of sheep. Tigers, predators, hunters, killers. And it is precisely that which makes us great. And there is a universe to be taken.
It's a very large universe, Commander, full of people who don't like the Klingons.
Excellent. Then it shall be a matter of testing each other's wills and power. Survival must be earned, Captain. Tell me about the dispersal of your Starfleet.
Kirk smiles sarcastically.
Go climb a tree.
I can get what I want through our mind scanner, but there would be very little of your mind left, Captain. I have no desire to see you become a vegetable. This friend of yours, the Vulcan, he seems to have the ability to block our scanner. I think perhaps I will find out why. I will have him dissected. Your friend killed. You a mental vegetable. Not a pleasant prospect, Captain. But it lies ahead for you unless you tell me everything I want to know. 12 hours, Captain.
Kirk stands and gazes coolly down at the Klingon commander.
It will take a lot longer than that, Commander.
Longer than that, I will not wait. I respect you, Captain, but this is war. A game we Klingons play to win. Take him to the cell with his friend. And watch him closely.
Kirk struggles as two guards manhandle him into a torch-lit dungeon cell where Spock is already locked up. They throw him onto a flagstone floor strewn with straw. He leaps up. Spock restrains him.
No use, Jim. There's no way out.
Two Klingon guards keep watch outside the cell. Time passes. Spock is sitting on a step, his back against the wall. Kirk paces impatiently, then squats down beside him.
Much of the 12 hours do we have left?
6 hours, 43 minutes, if the Klingons are punctual.
I think we can count on them being punctual. Blowing that munitions dump wasn't enough. We get out of here. We've got to carry the attack directly to Kut. These Organians.
They do not seem to understand. Most peculiar.
Nevertheless, our orders still stand. We've got to make some attempt to neutralize the Klingon occupation.
We may not get the chance, Captain. These walls are very thick.
And there are guards every few feet down the hall.
Kirk and Spock hide behind the heavy cell door as it opens, ready to take any opportunity to escape. Aelborn calmly steps through the doorway.
Oh, there you are, gentlemen. I trust you are in good health. Shall we go?
Go?
Yes, your captors plan to do violence to you. That we cannot permit. I came to take you away.
You turned us over to them. You expect us to trust you now?
Is there really a choice, Captain? I offer you safety.
Kirk and Spock exchange a glance and follow Aelborn out.
We can't stay here. This is the first place they'll look.
They will not come here, Captain. You may believe me.
First you turn us in, then you get us out. What are you doing now? Waiting for the Klingons to post a reward so you can turn us in again and collect it?
How little you understand us, Captain.
Nor do we understand what happened to the guards at the Citadel.
Please do not concern yourself about them.
What happened to them?
Why, nothing happened to them, Captain. Nothing at all.
In Kura's quarters.
Commander!
Don't you see I'm busy?
The two Federation prisoners, they're gone.
Kura turns in disbelief.
You mean they've escaped?
I swear, no one was at fault. The guards, 10 of them, were constantly on duty watching the cell. Then when we opened it to give them food, they simply weren't there, and there was no way out.
If you're lying to me...
I swear.
All right, Lieutenant. Implement Special Occupation Order number 4. Immediately.
Sir?
Kor's face creases with anger. In the council chamber...
Is that all you can do? Smile?
You are free, Captain.
I want to know how I'm free and why.
Indeed. There are several questions I would like to ask as well.
This idiotic placidity of yours, your refusal to do anything to protect yourselves.
We have already answered that question. To us, violence is unthinkable.
Attention. Attention, all Organians, attention. This is Commander Kur. The two Federation prisoners have escaped. Obviously, with outside aid.
They will be returned immediately. So that you will know we mean what we say. Listen.
Those are Klingon phasers. Take the door. Get down, gentlemen.
The elders smile and remain seated.
In the courtyard of my headquarters, 200 Organians have just been killed.
200 of them?
In 2 hours, 200 more will die. And 200 more after that. Until the two Federation spies are turned over to us. This is the order of Kur.
Did you hear them?
Yes, of course, Captain. But nothing has changed.
Well, Mr. Spock, it seems it's up to you and me.
It would appear so, Captain.
The Federation has invested a great deal of money in our training. They're about due for a small return. And we have 2 hours with which to do it in.
But only two. More Organians will die.
No, Mr. Spock. No more will die on account of us. Where are those phasers?
I cannot tell you.
Kirk rushes round the table to Aelborn's chair.
You've told us a great deal about how you hate violence. Unless you tell me where those phasers are, you're going to have more violence than you know what to do with.
You mean you would actually use force?
It's entirely up to you.
Aelborn, this is of no matter. Perhaps you better let him have what he wants. He...
Very well, but it will do you no good. They are in that cabinet.
Spock takes the phasers from a wooden cabinet.
Gentlemen, I have no great love for you, your planet, your culture. Despite that, Mr. Spock and I are going to go out there and quite probably die. In an attempt to show you that there are some things worth dying for.
There are only two of you against an army. Don't you realize that what you intend to do will be hopeless?
Come on, Mr. Spock, let's get out of here.
Kirk and Spock leave the chamber. The five elders gather at the door.
Brave men.
Yes, but so foolish.
Interesting, however.
Of course, we cannot allow it. To stop them is very bad.
It is necessary. They may harm one another.
Trafane.
They will wait until darkness.
And then?
Terrible, inconceivable, savage.
We will wait.
At night, Klingon guards patrol the fortress walls. Kirk and Spock crouch behind some bushes.
Mr. Spock, can we get those two guards? What would you say the odds are in our getting out of here?
Difficult to be precise, Captain. I should say approximately 7,824.7 to 1.
Difficult to be precise? 7,824 to 1?
7,824.7 to 1.
That's a pretty close approximation.
I endeavor to be accurate.
You do quite well. Set your phaser on stun. We're after the top dog, not the members of the pack.
Very good.
But if the situation calls for it, we kill. Is that clear?
Clear, Captain.
I'll take the one on the left. Fire.
Their phaser beams hit their targets, and the two guards tumble from the walls. Kirk and Spock run to the fortress entrance and up the stone stairs. In the council chamber, Trafane turns to the other elders.
It has begun.
Very well.
It'll be hard.
Prepare yourselves.
The elders close their eyes. Aelborn brings his hands together as if in prayer. In the fortress, the Klingon lieutenant meets Kor.
No results, Commander.
Nothing?
I cannot understand these people.
They know what death is, don't they?
They do not seem to be worried about anything.
Bad enough to be a military governor, but to govern a population of sheep? Very well, Lieutenant. Round up 200 more.
Yes, sir.
Fools! Will I have to kill them all?
Kirk and Spock creep up to an archway. Several Klingons pass by. Kirk leaps on the last one, tightens a rope around his neck, and drags him back through the arch. It's the lieutenant.
If you don't tell me what I want to know, I'll kill you here and now, is that clear?
Yes.
There's Kuro's office down there.
Yes.
What about the hostages? Talk.
I am to gather 200 more.
To be killed?
Kirk jerks the Klingon upright, and Spock applies a Vulcan nerve pinch to his neck.
Well, what are the odds now?
Less than 7,000 to 1, Captain. It's remarkable we've gotten this far.
Less than 7,000 to 1. Well, getting better, getting better.
They run on and burst into Kura's quarters.
Just stay where you are, Commander.
Kirk levels his phaser.
You have done well to get this far through my guards.
I believe you'll find that several of them are no longer in perfect operating condition.
So, you are here.
You will be interested in knowing that a Federation fleet is on its way here at the moment. Our fleet is preparing to meet them.
Checkmate, Commander.
Shall we wait and see the results before you kill me?
I don't intend to kill you unless I have to.
Sentimentality, mercy, the emotions of peace. Your weakness, Captain Kirk. The Klingon Empire shall win. Think of it. As we sit here, in space above us, the destiny of the galaxy will be decided for the next 10,000 years. Get out for your drink. We can toast the victory of the Klingon fleet.
You may be premature. There are many possibilities.
Today, we conquer. Oh, if someday we are defeated, well, war has its fortunes, good and bad.
Do you know why we are so strong? Because we are a unit. Each of us is part of the greater whole, always under surveillance. Even a commander like myself, always under surveillance, Captain. If you will note.
Guards storm in.
Shoot! Shoot!
The guards have dropped their weapons. Kirk and Spock try to fight them, but everyone recoils.
What is this, Spock?
Inexplicable, Captain. Extreme heat. Not only the weapons, but the bodies as well.
Kord grabs a weapon, but instantly drops it, as he and Kirk square up to each other to fight. Aelborn and one of the other elders come into the room.
We are terribly sorry to be forced to interfere, gentlemen, but we cannot permit you to harm yourselves.
What are you talking about? We have put a stop to your violence.
You are stopping this? You?
All instruments of violence on this planet now radiate a temperature of 350 degrees. They are inoperative.
My fleet.
The same conditions exist on both the star fleets. There will be no battle.
Ridiculous.
I suggest you contact them. You too, Captain. Your ship is now within range of your communications device.
Kirk to Enterprise. Come in.
Captain.
I can't explain it. We were just closing in on the Klingon fleet when...
Every control on our ship became too hot to handle.
The lights on the bridge dim.
Our power's gone. Our phaser banks are dead.
Stand by, Sulu.
My fleet. It's helpless.
What have you done?
As I stand here, I also stand upon the home planet of the Klingon Empire and the home planet of your Federation, Captain. I'm going to put a stop to this insane war.
You're what?
You're talking nonsense.
It is being done.
You can't just stop the fleet. What gives you the right?
You can't interfere. What happens in space is not your business.
Unless both sides agree to an immediate cessation of hostilities, all your armed forces, wherever they may be, will be immediately immobilized.
We have legitimate grievances against the Klingons. They've invaded our territory, killed our citizens. They're openly aggressive. They've boasted that they'll take over half the galaxy.
And why not? We're the stronger. You've tried to hem us in, cut off vital supplies, strangle our trade. You've been asking for a war.
You're the ones who issued the ultimatum to withdraw from the disputed area.
They're not disputed. They're clearly ours. And now you step in with some kind of trick.
It is no trick, Commander. We have simply put an end to your war. All your military forces, wherever they are now completely paralyzed.
We find interference in other people's affairs most disgusting. But you gentlemen have given us no choice.
You should be the first to be on our side. 200 hostages killed.
No one has been killed, Captain.
No one has died here in uncounted thousands of years. You're liars. You're meddling in things that are none of your business.
Even if you have some power that we don't understand, you have no right to dictate to our Federation
or our Empire
how to handle their interstellar relations. We have the right
to wage war, Captain, to kill millions of innocent people, to destroy life on a planetary scale. Is that what you're defending?
Well, no one wants war. But there are proper channels. People have a right to handle their own affairs. Eventually, we would have.
Oh, eventually you will have peace. But only after millions of people have died. It is true that in the future, you and the Klingons will become fast friends. You will work together.
Never. Your emotions are most discordant. We do not wish to seem inhospitable, but gentlemen, you must leave.
Yes, please leave us. The mere presence of beings like yourselves is intensely painful to us.
What do you mean, beings like yourselves?
Millions of years ago, Captain, we were humanoid like yourselves. But we have developed beyond the need of physical bodies. That of us which you see is mere appearance for your sake.
Kor and Kirk glance at each other.
Captain, it's a trick. We can handle them. I have an army.
Kirk holds Kor back. The two elders are beginning to metamorphosize. Their features blank out, leaving only their silhouettes, which pulsate with a dazzling white light. The blinding white forms change shape, growing smaller. Kirk, Spock, and Kor cover their eyes. The intensity of the light diminishes, and the two beings, now pink-rimmed orbs, disappear altogether. Spock steps towards the empty doorway.
Fascinating. Pure energy. Pure thought. Totally incorporeal. Not life as we know it at all.
But what about this planet? The fields, the buildings, this citadel?
Conventionalizations, I should say. Useless to the Organians. Created so that visitors, such as ourselves, could have conventional points of reference.
But is all this possible?
We have seen it with our own eyes. I should say the Organians are as far above us on the evolutionary scale as we are above the amoeba.
Kirk gives a wry shrug.
Well, Commander, I guess that takes care of the war. Obviously, the Organians aren't going to let us fight.
Kor shakes his head bitterly.
A shame, Captain. It would have been glorious.
He smiles. Back on the bridge of the Enterprise, Spock walks around the gallery compiling reports from the different stations. Kirk sits thoughtfully in his chair, his chin resting on his hand.
You've been most restrained since we left Organia.
I'm embarrassed. I was furious with the Organians for stopping a war I didn't want. We think of ourselves as the most powerful beings in the universe. It's unsettling to discover that we're wrong.
Captain, it took millions of years for the Organians to evolve into what they are. Even the gods did not spring into being overnight. You and I have no reason to be embarrassed. We did, after all, beat the odds.
Oh, no, Mr. Spock. We didn't beat the odds. We didn't have a chance. The Organians raided the game.
Spock's brow furrows. Kirk gets up from his chair with a smile. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.